Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, let's get our Bibles open right away to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is where we're going to be today, continuing in our series, Ecclesiastes, Wisdom, and the Meaning of Life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 to 10 is where we're going to be. If you're having trouble finding the book of Ecclesiastes, you can go to the middle of the Bible, find the big book of Psalms. Then you'll find Psalms, Proverbs, and there you'll see Ecclesiastes. The title of the message today is this, Facing the Facts and Finding Hope. Facing the facts and finding hope. Ecclesiastes is very interested in bringing us up out of the fairy tale that we often wish life was and into the reality of what life really is. We want to be continually facing the facts that the preacher of Ecclesiastes brings to us. And in doing so, today we'll see that we can find a tremendous, tremendous hope in the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Let's read it together. This is what it says. The preacher says, but all this I laid to heart. He says, I took this to heart, essentially. All this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. Verse 2 says, it is the same for all. Since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. Verse 3 says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Jump with me to verse 7. He says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil, be lacking on your head. Verse 9 says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Okay, a lot of verses that are full. We don't have much time, so I had to skip a couple, but we're going to pull some truth from this section of scripture. Facing the facts. We want to be facing the facts today, and in facing the facts, find tremendous wisdom for our lives. This is where we're going to start. Facing the facts. Number one is this. A life is random, but God is sovereign. Facing the facts and finding wisdom in that. That the preacher tells us life is random, but God is sovereign. I want you to notice it in verse 1. He says, but all this I laid to heart, all this I took to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. Well, I want you to remember first the preacher's vantage point. His vantage point is life under the sun, life in this world. His perspective is from what he observes here in this earth, on this earth. And this is an important perspective because we all live here on the earth. We all live here under the sun. And sometimes we have trouble making sense of what is happening to us and in this world. And as circumstances unfold here under the sun. Such an important perspective. I want you to notice it again in verse 1. He says, whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. What is he saying? What does that mean? Well, he's facing a simple fact. He's facing a simple fact, a fact that many of us would do well for ourselves to face. He's facing the fact that life is random. Life is unpredictable. Sometimes it's love, sometimes it's hate, he says. We simply don't know what lies ahead of us in this life. Why is this an important fact we need to face? Well, it's an important fact for us to face that life is random and unpredictable. We just don't know what lies ahead of us. It's important for us to face this. Why? Because we, whether we admit it or not, are so obsessed with controlling our lives. That's why it's an important fact we need to face. We can't control our lives. Life is random and it is unpredictable. Sometimes it's love, sometimes it's hate. We don't know. Both are before us. And it's an important fact for us to embrace because we often believe deep down in our hearts that if we could just all make the right moves, then all will go a certain way in our lives. If we can follow all the right plays, if we can plan ahead, in all the right ways, then we should be able to predict or control the outcome of our lives. That's what we think. That's what we want life to be like. If we can just do the right things, we can control the outcome. But the preacher says life is not so. Life is random. It's unpredictable. Sometimes it's love, sometimes it's hate. Both are before us and we don't know how it's going to unfold. It's not possible, loved ones, for us to control the outcomes of our lives. But this idea that we can is what causes so much disillusionment for so many people. The fact is this. Financial investors who've made all the right moves can still lose everything. That's a fact. Facing the facts. The fact is this, Christian parents who've made all the right moves, as devastating as that sounds, they can still watch their children walk away from the faith. Facing the facts, homeowners who pay a lot of money to waterproof their basements can still find themselves ankle deep in water. We can't control life. Life is random and it's unpredictable. And we can't control its outcome. Such an important fact that the preacher is facing head on. Now, preacher Warren Wiersbe notes this. I'm going to read this to you. He says, while it's generally true that the fastest runners win the races, the strongest soldiers win the battles, and the smartest and most skillful workers win the best jobs, it's also true that these same gifted people can fail miserably because of factors outside of their control. The successful person knows how to make the most of time and procedure, but only the Lord can control time and chance. Only the Lord can control time and chance. The wisdom that Ecclesiastes brings to us today is that life is random and unpredictable. We would be wise to understand that. We would be wise to put off any notion that we can actually control that. And the faster we face the facts about our inability to control life, and the faster we face the fact that life will throw us many curveballs, maybe you've experienced some even recently, a curveball or two that life has thrown. The faster we can embrace these things, the faster we will be better able to live from a perspective that offers peace in the midst of tumultuous time. So let's face the facts together. Life is random, isn't it? Maybe you can think back at your life, maybe even this week, maybe this past year, maybe over a number of years, and you can look back and you can say, it's true. Things happened. Things unfolded in a way that were unpredictable, that I didn't plan for. It's just so random so often. It's true, isn't it? Life is random. and it's unpredictable. But there's something else that we would do well to face and consider. And not only is life random and unpredictable, but we would do well to face this fact, that not only is life random, but God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You hear that from this pulpit a lot because it comes up everywhere in the scripture, and it comes up again today. I want you to look at verse 1. It says, "But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds," watch this, "are in the hand of God." That all the righteous and the wise and their deeds are, as random as they are to us, as unpredictable as they are to us, they're in the hand of God. Now, if you grew up in church like me, I've been in church all my life, you probably grew up in Sunday school singing a song that said, "He's got the whole world," where? "In his hands." He's got the whole world in his hands. And we didn't realize as children the worldview shaping words we were singing when we said that he has the whole world in his hands. That yes, life is random. Yes, life is unpredictable. Yes, life is short and elusive. Yes, life is repetitive and cyclical. Yes, life is complex and perplexing. But that's not a reason for us to despair, because as we sang as little children, he's got the whole world in his hands. That's why we don't despair at the unpredictability of life. See, some of us hear this fact that life is random, it's unpredictable, and we hear it's a fact that we cannot control. And that causes some of us to despair. Why? Because deep down we want to control everything. But we would be wise to understand we cannot control everything. It is true, life is random and unpredictable, but why is this not a source of despair for us? Why? Because the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Life is random, but God is sovereign. That means that the things happening to you today are in his hands. That means the things happening in our world today are in his hands. And they're not weak and feeble hands. They are perfect hands. They are capable hands. They are strong hands. They are hands that not only formed everything that exists, but they are hands that sustains everything that exists. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me in his hands. The ESV Study Bible has a small yet faith-producing note on this verse. It says, "No one knows whether a person's life in this world will be pleasant or difficult. Regardless of whether the person is righteous or wicked, nevertheless, in spite of this apparent randomness, one can be assured that the godly person is in the hand of God." And as I was preparing this message, and as I was examining my own life and all of my fears and worries and all of my obsessions with trying to control the unpredictable circumstances of my life, my prayer went up to God that as you heard what we just read in verse 1, that you are in God's hand, that this would assure you, this would bring you to rest in your soul, that this would encourage you, that this would bless you, that whatever is happening in your life, as random as it seems, as unpredictable as it seems, that you are okay because you are in His hands. And I don't know what life has been like for you. Certainly, we've all faced our ups and downs. Some of us have had really high highs. Some of us have had really low lows. Some of us are experiencing the disillusionment and frustration that comes from doing all the right things and still finding yourself holding the short end of the stick. Do you know how frustrating that is? Some of you know. Because you think to yourself, I'm doing all the right things. And you still find yourself holding the short end of the stick. And you're frustrated. What is our hope and joy and peace today? Well, it's right in verse 1. The righteous and the wise and their deeds are all in God's hands. Do you think you can trust Him? Do you think you can trust Him with the unpredictable events of your life? Do you think you can trust Him knowing that the Word of God says that we don't know what lies ahead? Maybe love, it may be hate, it may be good, it may be bad. We don't know what lies ahead, but we know we are in His hands. Question for you, is that enough for you? Is that enough for us? To not have control over the circumstances, but to know that whether it's love or hate or good or bad, that we are in God's hands. Today we're facing the facts. Life is random, but God is sovereign. Yes, He is. Secondly, this, facing the facts. Death is certain, but Christ is risen. Death is certain, but Christ is risen. This is where we find tremendous hope in embracing the realities of life that the preacher brings to us. Notice verses 2-3. The preacher says in verse 2, it is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked. What is the event that happens to the righteous and the wicked? Well, he's talking about death. He's coming back to this again. He sees the imminent reality of death before him. He says it's the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice, as the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. The preacher is frustrated. He's grappling with this reality under the sun. He comes back to the great equalizer of all of life, that while it's true that life is random and unpredictable and uncertain under the sun, he acknowledges there's one thing that is certain, and it's death. Death comes to everyone without discrimination. I want you to notice now verse 3. He says also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Now there's a sense in which the preacher considers the certain reality of death and the evil reality of death, and the fact that evil is not only seen in death, but what is verse 3 telling us? It's telling us that evil is seen in the hearts of people everywhere throughout their existence. And he basically thinks to himself, this is not the way it's supposed to be. He looks around, he's like good people are dying, bad people are dying. That people are oppressing one another everywhere. There's evil in the hearts of men everywhere. And as they progress in their life, they're progressing towards this evil thing called death. And he's thinking to himself as he looks around at life under the sun, and he thinks, this is not the way it's supposed to be. There's something inside of him that tells him, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Do you ever feel that way? When you think about death, when you think about the evil in the world, when you think about the injustice in the world, do you ever just stop and maybe not understand what you're feeling or how to articulate it, but deep inside you're feeling this is not the way it's supposed to be. There's something wrong. Every time you hear about abortion or cancer, or a car accident, or murder, or a miscarriage, or even the natural expiration of a 96-year-old person who lived a long and full life who still ended up dead, don't we feel deep down inside, it's not the way it's supposed to be? When we consider the pain of this life, the evil deeds of people towards one another and the rampant brokenness of our world, this is what the preacher is feeling. I want you to feel it as well. He's feeling that there's something wrong. The evil of life and death are pointing to a severe malfunction in God's world. And it's not that God has made a mistake. It's not that at all. It's that human beings and all of history dating back to Genesis chapter 3 is marred by sin. That's what's wrong. There is something wrong. It's not supposed to be this way. Sin has ushered in the reality of death, this evil reality of death, and it's sin that drives all the evil and brokenness in our world. And it seems to me that as readers of Ecclesiastes, we ought to stop to consider how the preacher's observations about life under the sun should cause us to feel a great neediness in our hearts. A great neediness of rescue, of help, rescue from all of this brokenness, all of this malfunctioning in this world. Do you feel that? As you see the preacher observing what life is like under the sun, there's nothing that satisfies. All is hevel. It's like a breath. It's like a smoke. We're all on our way towards death. Death, this evil thing. And even as we exist, we have evil in our hearts. This is what he's saying here. Do you feel, oh, the need in your hearts? We need help. The world needs help. We need help. That's what the preacher is feeling. Do you feel it? I want you to look now at verse 7. He says, go, eat your bread. Watch this. With joy. Wow. And drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved of you. What is he talking about now? Well, from the vantage point of the preacher, life is short. Life is elusive. Life is random. It's full of hardships that you can't control. So the preacher says, stop trying to master it. This is what he's been saying to us. Stop trying to master it. Stop worrying about it and begin enjoying the simple gifts that God has given you. For example, he goes on in verse 8, let your garments be always white, let not oil be lacking on your head. In other words, he says, wash your clothes, take a shower, get yourself dressed, take care of yourself, he says. He goes on in verse 9, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Spend time with your wife. Spend time with your family. It's a gift. It's not all there is, but it's what there is. You see? This is the preacher's vantage point from his position under the sun, that life is a gift. It's not ultimate gain. It's a gift. And he wants us to face the facts that life is short. Death is imminent. So stop worrying and start enjoying the simple things. They're saying, but he seems so dark. He seems so depressing. How can I enjoy? Well, he wants you to see the gifts that God gives you in the midst of all the darkness, how God's goodness is seen even in the midst of the darkness and imminent and approaching death. This is the preacher's vantage point. But this is not our only vantage point. And while it's true that we see God's goodness in the face of imminent death in many ways, in the gifts that he's given us, that the preacher says, go on and enjoy it. Stop worrying. In the families we enjoy, in the church family we enjoy, in the spouses that we enjoy, in the food that we enjoy to eat, all of that is God's good gift to us in the midst of all the hevel. But it's also true that the ultimate gift God has given us is the gift of eternal life that endures beyond this world. We have this vantage point as New Testament believers. You see, the message of Ecclesiastes is not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's not the message of Ecclesiastes, and it's certainly not the message of the Bible. But Ecclesiastes does remind us of the reality of life's frailty and the tendency to live in this world like this is all there is, and therefore the danger of missing the greatest hope of this life and the next. While Ecclesiastes teaches us to face the fact of death, the gospel brings it all together by teaching us that Christ has defeated death. You see that? That's our vantage point. The gospel teaches us that, yes, death is imminent, death is near. That's what the preacher of Ecclesiastes is telling us. But the gospel brings it all together by showing us that there is one who came to fix all the brokenness, to resolve all the hevel, to give what our hearts long for, an eternity with him. The gospel brings it all together. Yes, death is imminent, but Christ came. He died, he rose to defeat the power of death. The vantage point of the preacher is not the only vantage point we have. We have the vantage point of the gospel. So, loved ones, it's true that life can seem random and unpredictable. And some of us despair at that thought. Don't despair. We can't control it. But that's okay, because God is sovereign. Whatever you're facing today, find rest in this. You, child of God, are in his hands. And while death is really the only certain thing ahead of us, it's true. It's not a reason for us to despair. Why? Because while death is certain, we know Christ is risen. And he has defeated death and taken the sting out of death. And so don't live like you'll be here forever. Death is imminent, it's true. But let the truth of eternity give you hope and alleviate the burdens that you feel about the things you can't control. Allow your heart to rest in the gospel. Let's be gospel Christians. Let's understand what the preacher is saying here in light of the gospel. Because we are gospel Christians, because we have been saved from death and sin and the grave, we can take to heart the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. We of all people know we can't control our lives, but God is in control. So stop worrying about the things you can't control. Especially knowing that eternity has been secured for you. You're in exile here. You're a stranger in this world. So enjoy a meal and stop worrying. Enjoy your family and stop worrying. All as you look up and await your true and everlasting hope. Because Christ has defeated death, I can see all the gifts He's given us in this life, in this hevel of a life, in the midst of all the hevel, all the vanity. He's given us good gifts, and let those things just be a shadow to you, a reminder to you of God's grace and goodness, ultimately, supremely seen in the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that even if we don't experience one good thing in this life, you and I both know that while death is certain, Christ is risen. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. One day, I'll be with Him for all eternity. That's our hope. That's our hope. And so as you walk through this life that's so unpredictable and so random, let's walk through it not as those who are ignorant of the Scriptures, but those who have the wisdom and the instruction of the Scriptures. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You right now for Your word and Your truth. Lord, we thank You so much that You understand what we're going through when we feel the pain of life's randomness and unpredictability. I thank You, Lord, that You assure us today that while things happen to us that we cannot control, we remain safe and secure in Your hands. I thank You, Lord, for the wisdom there is in knowing that we're not going to live here forever. Death is coming to us all. Lord, I pray we would not run away from that, but we would be made wise by that fact. And that we would be encouraged in the fact, Lord, let it be so, that while death is certain, that's okay, because Christ is risen, has defeated death. Lord, I pray even right now You would let that fact fill us with hope and truth and assurance and peace. The Lord is giving me peace right now, even in the midst of the unpredictability of our world and the discouragement that I face and feel so many days. But I just confess to You with my friends, even this morning, woke up so discouraged. And yet taking heart, calling this to heart, that I'm in Your hands, that death has been defeated, that this world is not my home, that You have given me work to do, that I can enjoy the simple gifts You've given me all as I keep my eyes on the hope that is to come, the inheritance that is to be revealed. Oh Lord, I pray, let our church be a church that is wise and walking in hope. Let it be so for us. And for those that are listening to my voice right now that just feel weak, oh Lord, You know. You know them. We feel weak some days. And those that are listening to my voice as I pray right now that just feel weak, would You give us strength? Would You let Your word be our strength, that our God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble? Let it be so. Let it be so. Oh, how I pray You would make us wise. Make us wise. Start with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.